Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In James Catchpole's picture book, What Happened to You?, a little boy named Joe imagines himself a pirate who battles sharks and the occasional crocodile as he swings and climbs on a playground. But his fun is continually interrupted by other kids who point out what Joe does not need pointed out, that he only has one leg. They pepper Joe with questions, both serious and silly, until he finally snaps, at which point the kids give up. And then what happens? They realize they can just have fun. I spoke with James Catchpole about his book, What Happened to You, last May. James, where did the idea for this book come from?
So the idea came from the life I've lived. So I pretty much always had one leg. So as a child, I was that kid. I was Joe in the playground. And, you know, what, 30 years after that, I've got children of my own. So I started going back to playgrounds again and remembering what it's like being a child who looks different on the playground. And it's hard to know how to handle that. And I thought I'd like to write a book for the child I was then.
In the book, Joe seems pretty clear that he knows he doesn't owe other kids an explanation when they ask. In fact, it's interesting. He says, well, what do you think happened? And I wonder, how long in your life as a child did it take before you realized, I don't have to answer that question? Or did you just wish that you had known as a kid? I don't have to answer that question.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to say I knew as a kid, but no, it took me about 24 years to figure it out. And especially because it's not just children who ask, it's grown-ups who sometimes ask too. And if a grown-up asks you that question, then, hey, it must be reasonable. So it took me a long time to figure out that, A, I felt uncomfortable with it. B, actually answering that question often made the person who'd asked it feel uncomfortable too. People often ask that question, grown-ups ask it even now. You know, I could go out the door and someone might say, excuse me, mate, why you got one leg? If you give them the real answer, they start to feel uncomfortable because they've realized they've made a sort of social faux pas. It took a long time to work out that all of this meant that the problem wasn't me. The problem was the intrusive questions, the simple rule that you don't ask personal questions of a stranger, which has somehow not been applied to people with disabilities.
So let's take all the kids on the playground now, James, because now we've established, really, we're teaching everybody on the playground with this book. What does it do for the Joes when they realize they don't have to answer that question?
Yeah, that's a good question. It doesn't give the Joes an easy answer for the simple reason that there isn't an easy answer. But it does show them that they're not the problem. And it suggests to them that they're not obliged to answer the question. They do have the same right to privacy as anyone else does. I think that's tremendously important.
And what about the other kids on the playground? What does it do for them?
There is a kind of cultural consensus that what the other children need in this instance is education. And what that's assumed to mean is that they need to be told all about the disability. What they need is medical diagnosis. And I think this is completely wrong, actually. Children, for one thing, often don't have the attention span. And secondly, they're not really looking for all that. What they're looking for is, oh, this child looks different. And what they want is, yes, that child looks different. That child has a disability. Maybe this child has one leg instead of two. But that's okay. And for an awful lot of children, that's all they need. They kind of process it and they go, oh. And then their brains move on to something else immediately. The problem with giving them all that information, and especially if we expect the disabled child to be the one giving over all their own medical information, is that what that teaches the other children in the playground is disabled people are there to educate you. And any disabled person can be asked that question. And then, of course, they become the grown-ups who come up to me at the bus stop and they're, excuse me, mate. Yeah, gosh, just to ask you, why'd you lose your leg? I think the presupposition there is that people with visible disabilities go around feeling terribly awkward that no one else knows about why they lost a leg or why they use a wheelchair, as if our consciousness is continually obsessed with the idea that we're disabled and people need to know why. And of course, it's quite the opposite for us. We're normal.
So that takes me to the letter in the back of the book, to parents, about how to talk to their children who might be like the little kids in their story who can't help but to ask Joe. talk us through those pieces of advice. It's four or five very simple pieces of advice that, by the way, are very clearly for the parents as well as for the kids.
Oh, I know, they're very much for the parents. One of the responses of parents in the playground, those are the parents whose children have just yelled very loudly, "Why has that man got one leg?" and caused the whole playground to look at me. One of the responses of those parents is, rather touchingly, "What am I supposed to do now?" And they come over to me very worried, and they're genuinely hoping I might not educate their child, but literally tell them how they're supposed to handle the situation, which is kind of funny. So I thought I'd try and write some guidance out. I'll see if I can remember those 5 points. You may have to remind me how exactly they're written in the book. But the first one is don't panic, stay calm, because one unhelpful response, of course, is to grab your child by the wrist and say, "Shush, don't look," which of course will just give them a sense of a kind of abiding panic and terror about any disabled person they see. Another tip would be that you can educate generally. You can just say, "Oh yeah, that person over there has one leg. Some people do. They have a disability. That's okay. Disability is normal." Another tip is that you can't expect to educate personally. If your child wants to know, "But why does that man have one leg?" Again, you can be general. You can say, "Well, some people lose a leg in a car accident. Some people have an illness. Some people are born that way. We don't know, and we can't know about this person because, you know, they're minding their own business. In my case, they're probably trying to prevent their own children from running backwards down the slides."
So you've hit actually several of them. You've given the explanation across the first four, you know, the don't panic, the answer simply and generally, the educate generally, the it's good to be curious, but you're not really entitled, right, to a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And then you talk lastly about just manners and empathy.
Yeah, and that's always the best way with kids in the end, isn't it? They're quite good at this. I mean, you know, they start off as babies, children, and they don't really understand that other people exist. But if you say to them, "How would you feel if you were asked the same question again and again? If you asked the same question every single time you went on the playground, how would you feel?" Now, the children won't necessarily understand that that question has the effect of singling people out and that it can cut really to the core of what could be a very deeply traumatic thing in that person's past. But they will understand that that would be boring, and that's enough. And of course, that's what the book tries to do. You put Joe as the main character and you ask your readers to walk for a moment in his shoe.
The pictures are adorable. Like, I wanted to go play pirates by the time I was done reading this book. You write the story, and it comes from a deeply personal place. Someone else, in this case, Karen George, illustrates. What is it like to take this story and turn it over to someone else to visually bring it to life? How much control do you have over that? Is it fun to see someone else's imagination applied? Is it hard?
I think I would find it slightly terrifying in a normal publishing author-illustrator situation. But we actually don't have that. My day job is an agent. I'm an agent for children's books. And funnily enough, Karen sent me a story about a one-legged teddy bear. She had no idea I had one leg. I was just an agent that she'd once emailed. And then, of course, she realized that she'd managed to send it to surely the only one-legged literary agent. And I had to tell her the parts that didn't ring true and the parts that did. And she agreed that I could write the text. And so actually we kind of worked on it together. So we had a direct link even before we'd found a publisher.
So, James, I don't want to miss the fact that in the end, really what happens in this story is that the kids just play. So ultimately, lessons learned, understood, the Joes of the world recognize it's not my responsibility to answer your questions. What's the invitation here?
The invitation is to allow disability to be normal. I think that's the point here. And the way to do that is not actually by treating disabled children as opportunities for education, because that doesn't normalize. That actually others them more. The opportunity here is to allow them to be normal and to allow other children to get over their curiosity as quickly as they can and just start playing.
James Catchpole's picture book for children is What Happened to You, with lovely illustrations by Karen George. James Catchpole, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.